Today I want to talk about the topic of clapping during Haman. Okay, when you lay in the Megillah, we all have the experience of hearing people bang, rebang, children bang. Everyone makes quite a bit of noise when we lay in the Megillah and we come to the name Haman. How many times does Haman appear in the Megillah? Anyone know? 54 times. Okay, there are 54 Hamans in the Megillah. 54 times. If I'm not mistaken, there are 54. You can make a count. As you go, you count. 1, 2, 3. I think it's 54. Maybe I'm making a mistake.
Each one he says it over twice, so it's 108.
Okay. So the question over here is... where does this minhag come from to clap at when the Baal Kriya says Haman? Is this...
I clap for mas.
For what?
The last parak.
Mas. Taxes. Taxes.
So, and I mentioned this to my brother. My brother says to me, everybody does that here.
And what about Medina? Sad for the clap of Chol Medina or Medina?
Not that
one. Rabbi Levine?
Yeah?
Among the Sephardim, they do not bang.
Oh.
Right?
Okay, we're gonna discuss this.
Yeah,
question is, when did this minhag come in? There is a halachic issue. It's not just a question of banging, making noise. There are halachic issues that are part of the equation. Number one halachic issue is hefsek. When you lay in the pasuk, you're not allowed to be mafsek. Bidyevet. If something happens, you have a hefsek. You're letting them, and you make a mistake, and you have to correct yourself. Okay, so then you have no choice. You made a mistake. You have to go. But lechatchilu, you're not supposed to arrange. You're not supposed to read the Megillah, read the Sefer in a way where you're going to enter into hefsek. So it appears that such a minhag would go against the grain of the halacha. Further. Then a halacha that's true in regard to any type of kriya, whether it's a kriya satayra or the haftarah, there's a special din in the letting of the Megillah, and the Megillah is called an igeres, is a letter. And one of the principles of a letter is it has to be read in one shot. It has to. There is an emphasis in the concept, in the theme of an igeres, that there cannot be any breaks, any interruptions. And it's also explained hashkafically, because what exactly is the story of the Megillah? The Megillah is just a collection of isolated events. If you read the Megillah from beginning to end, what is the Megillah? It's just a sequence of events, coincidences. A couple of coincidences came together at the same time, and from our perspective, it's viewed as a miracle. If you're going to be mafsik in between events, or in between psukim, you're taking away what the whole purpose of the Megillah is all about. The purpose of the Megillah is to collect isolated events and put them together and show you, look at that. Can it be? So many coincidences are all a coincidence. All of the coincidences come together to show that there's a divine plan. There's intelligent design. So there's a greater emphasis in stopping in the Megillah by being mafsik for Haman. So how can it then be that we have such a Jewish custom to make a ha'afsik? So the fact that we do must mean that it's built into the makeup of the Megillah. Now some even want to go so far to say that this minhag comes from the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We have to understand that they lay in the Megillah for 420 years in the Beis HaMikdash, because the miracle of Purim happened before the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So someone suggests that this minhag came about, I don't know, he brings some sources, has to be that it was sanctioned by the Lishkas Haggadah, the Sanhedrin, who sat in the Lishkas Haggadah. That's how important the minhag is. The vast majority of the Paiskim say that there's no such thing. This minhag of clapping during Haman evolved during the time of the Rishonim. Rashi appears to be one of the first people who mentions this Megillah, the Shiboli Haleket. Shiboli Haleket, he quotes Rashi. He quotes Rashi, Matsasi b'shem Rabbeinu Shloimoy, Zechat Tzadik Levracha. Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Zichler, the Yesh Mekomos, and Rashi writes in one of his piyutim is that it was the minug that when they say Baruch Mordechai, Baruch Es Aruchamun Aruzeresh, Umakin Biraglehen, they would clap with their feet. They would bang with their feet. They would take stones, or Rashi says, Umashabrun Kideros. They would take pitchers, and they would bang one pitcher against the other, and they would shatter pitchers, and that. And, so Kishamam Shaver Haman, when they said Kishamam Shaver Haman Vizeresh, Vicholze Einachoyve Elaminachtoy, Rashi quotes this, and Rashi says, according to most of the Paiskim, it is a modern Minach. It evolved during the time of the Rishonim, or maybe from the Goinim, but does not go back mamish to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And the custom was, as he said, originally was to be Mekayim what it says, Timche Zecher Amalek. And that, the way it's brought down in the earliest sources, is to write the name of Haman on a piece, on a stone. You write down Haman, or you make an image of what looks like a caricature of Haman, and you take two stones, and you rub the two stones together when they say Haman, and by doing so, it caused this Haman's name to be obliterated. That's not the way anyone does it today. Today, it's not more than noise making. You don't see anyone going and taking stones and writing his name and rubbing them together, causing the name to be erased. But that, what we do today, is just an outgrowth of what used to be. Erasing his name was not necessarily making noise. It was making. Or they would write Haman's name on the bottom of their shoe, and they would bang and they would rub it against their shoe. Now, it also appears that this meaning was not accepted by the Sfaradim. There's a meaning that was only accepted by the Ashkenazim in Eastern Europe, by Germany and France. The Sfaradim never accepted this minhag. We don't find it among them. Even today, it seems that they're not accustomed to doing this minhag. Now, the Maril, okay, the Maril, who is the father of all minhagim, he acknowledges that such a minhag does exist, but he seems to say it should not be done. It's something which has gotten out of hand, and he was not all himself makbid in being mekayim this minhag. Some of the people who wrote, who comment on the Maril, who discussed, they say that he can't bring a raya for the Maril, because it was well known that the Maril was the Baal Kriya. He was the one who read the Megillah. So usually the one that reads the Megillah is not able to bang because he's busy reading the Megillah, so he has to concentrate and he has to wait for the tzibur. So just because the Maril himself did not clap during Haman is not a raya for the people listening that they should not clap during Haman. Okay, now there's another set of tshuvas that mentioned that the ikar clapping during Haman is not for adults. It is for children. In most of all of the earliest sources, children are the ones that are given the task of clapping during Haman, not the adults. Because once the adults start doing it, it gets out of hand, and it leads to bilbul, it leads to hefsek, it leads to problems. And the children are the ones, they are the ones that were given the task to clap during Haman. Now, he brings over here in Paris Eliezer that there were kufais, especially among certain groups where they were mevatel the minhag. And the reason why the mevatel the minhag was for many reasons. Number one, first of all, it got out of hand, and people were not yoytze with the mitzvah of mikra megillah because they would bang during all points in time, and they would bang too long, and the balkri would lane, and people were not able to hear. Number two, many gedolim felt that it is a zilzul in the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. When you come to the Beis HaKnesses, it's a place of reverence, a place to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To bang and to make noise and to do things, to clap with your feet and to break pitchers and to do these things in a holy makam of the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, is a zilzul in the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses and borders on an Isser Deraisa of Vibadetem Eshema Min HaMakam Ahu. There's a mitzvah of Shakes to Shaksena that you have to obliterate Avodah Zarah, and you have to destroy Avodah Zarah. And then the pasuk goes on to say, "Lo sasun kein laHashem Elokeichem." A Beis HaKnesses, makom kedusha, and therefore you have no business behaving in such a way in the Beis HaKnesses. So that's a halachic reason why it should not be done. Furthermore, another very important reason is it became a very source of chilul Hashem. The goyim were watching our every move, And when they find out what goes on in the Beis HaKnesses, that when it comes to Haman, everyone is screaming and is clapping, and they're creating these caricatures of Haman, and they're burning them, and they're hanging them up. It's happened even recently in the news, where people, they hung up on the street these caricatures, effigies of Haman, and it was in the news, it was on news. What kind of thing are these Jews doing? What kind of crazy thing is this? And in fact, there was a very famous story in one country, not exactly, I think in Turkey, in Izmir, they in fact were Mavatel. They were Mavatel, the bang of Haman, and there the story was, they was on their non-Jewish holiday, the Goyim would do the same. They would have an effigy of a Jew, and they would hang up Jews. They would burn them or hang them on a cross as revenge for the crucifixion of Yashka. Just like what they they would say that just like we killed their God, just like what we did to them, so that's what they're going to do to us. And on their holiday, they would take out people that look like Jews, maybe people that look like some of the Rabbanim, people that were famous figures in the Jewish people, and they would put them on a cross, and they would make fun, they would do these things. So this became a danger. This led to Sakana. Once they started doing this, they got drunk, and they started harassing the Jewish people. So there was a nice there, is where the politicians, all of the Askanim and the FJJ, they all got together, and they went to the government, they says, please pass a law where they should stop doing this on their secular holiday, because it's leading to incitement. When they start making a parade and taking out Jews on crosses and doing all these crazy things, one thing leads to another and it becomes a very great sakana. So they agreed. They agreed and they passed the law not to do this. The following year, they came to the government. They said, why should we stop doing what we're doing? Look what the Jews, they do the same thing on their holiday. They go take this person they call Haman, and they put him up. They put him up on a noose, and they hang him, and they're all screaming like crazy in the Beis HaKnesses, and they're clapping, Haman, doing all these crazy things. And in fact, this was the argument, this records over here in the Palace of Eliezer, what they do is worse than what we do. Because it's an undeniable fact that Yashka was crucified. But Haman didn't do anything to the Jews. Haman only planned to harm the Jewish people. Haman was unsuccessful. And they're doing to Haman something which he only planned to do. In the secular court, if you plan to do harm to a person and you fail, you don't go to jail, because bottom line is, you got lucky. But they made an argument. This became an argument, is that what the Jews are doing is worse than what the Christians are doing. Because the Christians, they're taking revenge for something which happened. And the Jews, they're doing the same type of revenge for something which did not happen. Which machshavtoi haro, what Haman? Now we don't need these answers. These answers to us don't make any are nonsense. But from their perspective, from the perspective of a guy, it makes a difference. And they felt that what we're doing, if they're demanding from us that we should not do these things on their holidays, then we should reciprocate and not do these things on our holidays. And don't say that we're doing this behind the closed doors and no one knows what we're doing. That we live in an open world today, even going back 100,000 years ago, whatever it was, people knew what was going on behind closed doors, and they did not like this. So this became a very big sticking point in isolated areas in the world. I think also in different parts of the world where the goyim were watching carefully what we did, and therefore it became a chilul Hashem. They just don't understand what it's all about, and therefore many rabbanim felt that it has to be yavti mevatel, because it's a chilul Hashem, and it can come lidei sakana. So these are three of the main reasons why many gedolim came along on mevatel leminu. Again, number one, because it's mebalbel, the laning of the Megillah. People are not able to concentrate, especially when it comes to zakenim, older people. It's very, very disturbing. It's very disturbing, and especially when you have a young crowd, a rowdy crowd, and it gets way out of hand very quickly. You slide down the slippery slope of what can happen. Number two is an iser derais of lesasun kein lashem lekechem. How can you be mezazlin the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses to get rowdy and bang and make noise? noise, and one thing leads to another. And number three, the goyim are watching, they don't understand, and it turns into a chilul Hashem. Others want to suggest there's another reason why you should not do this, because it's tircha de tzibura. People, especially at night, now this year, you're starting the Megillah at seven, over a quarter after seven, you're starting the Megillah. You're not going to get home until 9 o'clock. So the bang of the Megillah, you get rowdy, bang of the Megillah, it's going to add another 15 minutes to the learning of the Megillah. What?
After eight.
You're not gonna get home until 8:30 at least.
8 o'clock is five to eight is seis.
It's seis. 8 o'clock. It's even later. Whatever it is, it's very late. You're not gonna come home until 9 o'clock. So people are fasting. Tircha de tzibura. Tircha de tzibura. How can you go and keep people there in shul? We know what goes on. It's not the proper thing to do. So there were many gedolei yisrael that went to the degree where they were mamish mevatel the sminik. On the other hand, those argue you can't be mevatel the minik. First of all, the Ramah. By the way, the mechaber who was a Sephardi, makes no mention of this minik at all. The Sephardim were never makabel the minik. There's no mention they ever observed the minik. In Izmir is Turkey. In Turkey, what are they?
Constantinople.
So who was there in Turkey? Who was there? Sephardim or Ashkenazim? Sephardim? They did it, it seems. They did do it, but they were mevatel it. They succeeded in mevatel it. Okay, but whatever, the Sephardim... They did not do. They did the Sfaradim. The Sfaradim do not. They do not do. That's why the Mechaber makes no mention. The Ramah, this is very rare. The Ramah goes out of his way and says there's a minute to do it, and don't be laugh at any minute, and don't. And he goes on to. He goes. I don't remember the exact words. The Ramah is very strong. It's a minute, and it has to be done, and you should not tamper with Minag Yisrael. Minag Yisrael Kodesh, it's holy, Minag Yisrael Torah, and the person should not tamper with this Minag. And that's why many people are just afraid to them. They would very much like to mevatel the Minag, but because the Ramah went out of his way to mention that the Minag does exist, this type of Minag you're not mevatel. We have in Klal Yisrael many Minhagim. The vast majority of the Minhagim are not recorded in Shulchan Aruch. It's not a Mechaber, it's not a Ramah. You'll find the Minag maybe in the Magen Avram occasionally, maybe you'll find it in a Taz, maybe you'll find it somewhere from the Nice Kalim, you'll find the minute, you'll find it, even if it's not recorded. Those type of minhagim, when the circumstances are such that it's not to our advantage, then the Rabbanim can get along in the Mavatal. But a minhag that is recorded by the Ramah, and the Ramah even emphasizes not to be malaglek, not to mock, not to make fun of any minhag, then many of the Gedolei Yisrael Ashkenazim who would be very quick to mevatel the minhag have held back, were afraid to tamper with minhag Yisrael. Whatever it is what it is. Now some have made a pshara. The pshara is you don't have to clap at every single haman. You can clap at selected hamans. The first, the last, the middle, when haman is killed, Aseres b'nei Haman, or every time it says the Haman's full yichos, Haman ben Hamdasa ho'agogi. Yeah.
Over 60 years ago, I adopted Shul in East New York, and they permitted the banging only when Haman's full name was.
Right. Haman ben Hagogi, Haman ben Hamdasa ho'agogi. That is a minute.
The Bravo.
Okay. Now. Now, some go a step further. This is very interesting. Some even go a step further and are of the opinion that not only are you bang, you are supposed to say in the middle of the learning of the Megillah, shame the shame Rishahim Yirkov. Okay, this is halacha, and this is really Gemara. The Gemara says that when they would learn the Gemara, they would come to Nebuchadnezzar, they would say, Shachik, Shachik,
Atzmosa,
may his bones
rot.
So the Ferish Gemara, when you mention the name of a Rasha, you're supposed to say, may his bones rot, the person should get what he deserves. So there's the Levush, this is a shocking Chiddush. The Levush is of the opinion, not only that when you read the Megillah, and you come to Haman, you're supposed to respond, the Tzibur is supposed to respond with every mention of Haman's name, Rishayim Rishahim Yirkov. And all the Paiskim say, can it really be? Is it not called a hefsik? So they say no. It's only a hefsik if the Balkriya, if he says the Shem Hashem Yerkov. But for the Tzibah to say the Shem Hashem Yerkov, that's not called hefsik. In fact, shame Risham Yirkov, and in fact by design that's all a chelek of the Mikra Megillah. A chelek of Mikra Megillah is a chelek of Mechias HaMolek, and a chelek of Mechias HaMolek is to mention that the name should be obliterated. It's part of the duty of the Tzibur to, when you come to the name of Haman, that's part of the reading of the Megillah, to respond Risham Yirkov. And then they go so far to say, and that's how it came about, the meaning that children, they clap, because children are not sophisticated, dealing with small little children, they don't know how to say those words. They can barely talk. And they don't know, they're not familiar with the meaning of the word v'shem, rishayim, yirkov. They don't know exactly what these words mean and how to say it properly. So it was taught, so instead of saying the words, the adults will say v'shem, rishayim, yirkov. And the kinderlach, who don't know how to pronounce these words, instead they will bang with their feet to make an indication that we want to get rid of Haman. Over the generations, the adults turned into the children, sure. And the children, the adults started banging. The children, you know, they kept doing what they did the year before, but that's not the way the minhag started originally. Now, in fact, even though we don't do this, there is an opinion that says that halacha l'maisa, you know, all the poskim say you don't not to follow the lavush. No one's going to say v'shem Risham Yirkov, but there is an opinion that says that when you finish the Megillah before you recite the concluding bracha, harav eshrivenu, you're supposed to say v'shem Rishayim Yirkov. Or Ken Yoivdu Kolaivecha Hashem. Even though we actually don't say it b'shas, the lining of the Megillah itself, like a pshara, you're not going to say it during the lining of the Megillah itself, because that we consider to be a hefsek shemeya ka'ina. But when you finish the Megillah, before you say the concluding bracha, Rav Eshrivenu, this was part built into the way we recite the Megillah. You say v'shem Risham Yirkov.
I suppose you're referring to Mordechai.
Right, but it's the Megillah is over. Mordechai Yadrotzul Revechav, and we're now referring to Mordechai. But the whole story of the Megillah, more or less, is about the.
When we say Shoshanas Yaakov.
So we have the minhag is we say the bracha, then we say Shoshanas Yaakov. In Shoshanas Yaakov, we have Arurim Kol Harishoyim, our Haman, and that's when we bang. In fact, some say you can mekayim the minhag. I think in the Luch Ezra's Torah, Taka says this. Luch Ezra's Torah, it says the best thing to be is don't clap during Haman, and the only time you mekayim the meaning of clapping is only when you get to the very end. You say Shoshanas Yaakov or Haman. That is when you bang. Okay, so there are obviously now the other mafarshim say pumfakeret. You have to bang because it, part of the lesson. This is something you know. You don't need in this generation, in the world of liberals, in the world of corruption in politics. It's very important occasionally to know what evil is. You have to identify evil. We live in a world today, everyone is good, everyone is a tzaddik, everyone that commits a crime, it's because that when he was an infant, his mother didn't sing to him a lullaby. But not the world. It is critical to identify evil. It is critical to identify and obliterate evil. And some say, he writes over here, from one of the posts, he writes over here, I don't think from this generation, but in our generation, it's even more important now, more than ever, that we should clap. Because unfortunately, the generation this person is writing, I don't remember who he writes over here, who is saying us, is today there's such, everything is good. All of the Jews, they're going, they're what? Yeah. Well,
you have to be careful. It could be by Zayde, your Zayde, I don't know.
But you have to. It is critical in this generation to identify evil and obliterate it. He writes that in his generation, everyone, the Jews, are eating non-kosher and they're drinking yayin, non-kosher wine. How dare you? How can you go have dealings with non-Jews? The more you assimilate, the day will come when they'll kill you. You have to identify evil, clap, so it should make an impression upon you. If it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it sounds like a duck, it's a terrorist. That's what it is. You have to identify evil, and it's more important in our day, more and more so than ever, due to the blurring of liberalism, and everyone is good, and anytime you have a problem, it's not a crime. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's society's fault, and it's not really bad. It's really a milah. You have to.
Happens to you.
Of course. So this is something. Now there's another very interesting response of why the minhag is, why they became the minhag where people are afraid to the mevatel. This is the historical thing which can be said about many things, but it's especially true in regard to this. And not everyone knows this, is that when the reform movement began, they chipped away very, very slowly. So the first thing everyone knows is they did away with the Yukon Porkin. But what people do not know is the second thing they did, I don't know, the second, the third, but one of the big targets in the early days of reform was not to bang during Haman. This was a big thing among the reform. Once the right wing, once the Haredi, the traditional Judaism, got wind of what the reform was trying to do, so obviously this became to the other extreme.
Bang
even more. Lachas. Right, with the Bima, there are things that had the reform not touched, maybe by today it would not have been such a big issue. Maybe by today it would have been in Klal Yisrael, we would only bang the first time, we would bang less.
Don't do it because they were not in Europe.
Could be. Sfardim were quicker. Sfardim were more eager to be mevatelit because they were not, they didn't deal with the reform. Okay, so there's no question about it that he makes a very strong argument here in the Paradis Eliezer. You cannot deny the fact that what we're doing today, the fact that people, you see that Ashkenazim, many yeshivas, they're not interested. They just really would want to, don't tamper. You don't tamper with the Ramah, it says it. Part of the reason why we're not tampering is an outgrowth of what happened about 100 years ago when the reform tried lahachas to uproot this. Okay, now there are other things that they do about Haman. There's something called, it's mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara mentions this thing called this. Okay, also, by the way, that everyone knows, just to run through very quickly, the Grager, the way we bang today is used, it's not clear when it was invented, the Grager, and there's much discussion, the difference between the Grager and the dreidel. I'm sure you all know this. The Grager, you make noise from below, the Grager from the dreidel from on top, because Purim, it's the same reason, he explains it here very nicely, it's the same reason why on Purim, it's Mishteh v'Simcha. On Chanukah, there is no requirement of Mishteh v'Simcha. There is no requirement to have a Chanukah party on Chanukah. If you have a Chanukah party, okay, it's a nice thing, but there's no obligation. But Purim, you must. Why? Because Purim, you deserved it. You earned it. Purim, only the miracle only came about because Lech Kineis is Kol HaYehudim. It's because we got together and we were mispalul. On Chanukah, we did nothing. Chanukah was a gift. It was a gift min HaShemayim. We did not earn the miracle of Chanukah. Therefore, there's no requirement to have a party. You don't earn it. You don't deserve to celebrate. Purim, you earned it. You earned it. Memela, you have a right to celebrate. For the same exact reason, you grogger from below. It's us. We did it. It's our Maisi Yadayim. The dreidel, it's some on top. Hashem did it. Hashem brought about the miracle. We didn't earn it. There's no party. You only have latkes. You can't compare a latke to a hamantashen. Hamantashen is the real deal. Not the latkes. Okay. Now another thing. The Gemara talks of one other minhag relating to Haman, and that is called. You bang, it says that you bang for Zeresh also. You bang for Zeresh in the Arur Haman of Zeresh. You bang there also, it says the end, you bang. Okay, another thing is what's called, I pronounce it correctly, this thing called Mashvarta de Puriyah. Another thing I left out, very important thing I left out, is that some suggest the reason why we bang is to encourage the children to come to the Beis HaKnesses. It's a very important idea before we wind down, is Haman, there are many Midrashim, Haman's primary target. Yeah. Target number one was who? The Taf. With the children. This is what Haman's focus was on the children. The nail on Purim, we go out of our way to be mesamech the children, to give them pleasure. But children making trouble, this pleasure. They come to shul and they can bang and they can do whatever they want. This is their simchas yomtev. They have costumes. It's a children's holiday. Purim is really a children's holiday. It really is. And therefore, why? Because they were the target. targets. They were target number one for Mordechai, and therefore we go out of our way in order to enhance their simcha, which includes banging with the gragger. Right. They love it. They love it. They enjoy it. That's a very important idea. What? Exactly.
Yeah.
But the Seder is on many levels. Okay, the next thing. Next thing is something called Mashvarto de Puri. Now let me explain this. The Gemara talks about there's a prohibition of Moilech. And a person offers his children to an idol called Moilech, he's Chayiv Misa. How is he Chayiv Misa? The Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the way a person is chayiv moilech, you have to take the child and you have to put the child in the fire. In the fire.
Pass through.
Pass through the fire. The Gemara, you can pass through the fire many ways. Hechidami, who is the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Rova Omar, Kimashvarto Dipuraya. The way a person is chayiv moilech is equivalent to what Mashvarto dipuraya. Now, what does that mean? Perish Rashi. Reading here, quote from Rashi. Einoi maaviroi biraglov ela koifetz. It doesn't mean you walk. You take the child and you walk through the fire. The child doesn't die. And this is not death. This is a form of avodah zarah where you take the child and you quickly pass through the fire. The child remains alive. So how? What is the way of doing moilech? So Rashi, you don't walk through fire quickly. It means you jump. Elo koyfeitz beraglov kiderech, the same way shatinoikos koyfzim bimei hapurim. On Purim there was a dance. The dance was there was a fire in the middle. They had a ditch and they lit a fire. Try this at home today. You'll wind up in jail. The children would jump over the ditch, a ditch that was burning with fire. So the children jumped over shatinoikos koyfzim bimei hapurim shohoiso chafiro ba'aretz. Eish, boyer boy, who koifets, and the children would jump over the pit. And hopefully no one would fall in. So this is what they did. So this is called the joy mashvarta de puraya. It's very, very bizarre. Now that's what Rashi says. What? So this is a Jewish minhag. This is not a Goyish minhag. The Gemara is coming to say that Moilech, the way the Goyim worship Moilech was, they would take to hold their children in their hands, and the parents would jump over a fire with their children. You're right. I don't know, but this is the Rashi. It's a very bizarre Gemara. Mashvarto dipuraya, and Rashi explains what they did. They would jump over a fire. Now, not everyone. There are other Rishonim than Rashi. There is the Shita of Rabbi Nosson, the Oruch. The Oruch has a different interpretation, and he basically says what they did was they made these what's called effigies.
Yeah.
Mashvarta de Puraya means they made an effigy of Haman, the whole 9 yards, and they put a ring. Ashvarta means a ring, and they would basically torch it on Purim.
Huh.
Unbelievable they did it, but today that's why it's such a, what?
Necklace thing. Put it in South Africa.
Put a tire.
With gasoline around the person's neck and light it.
So there was an effigy of Haman, and they had a ring, and they hung up Haman on the ring, and they would torch it. So when it comes to Moilech, the Gemara is describing, I guess it means they would actually torch the children. Crazy, crazy avodah zarah. They would torch the children. But what do you learn from this? That on Purim there was such a custom. There was such a custom in ancient times, the Mechiyas Samolek. The way you erase Samolek is not just you. What?
You erase
Haman. Okay, to conclude, there's also halacha. The reason why Chazal said it's mutter kol leitzenusa asira mibar leitzenusa the avodah zarah. All forms of leitzanus have been except for leitzanus avodah zarah. So this is how we are makayim it. All the leitzenusa on Purim is amalek, is leitzenus avodah zarah is permitted. The last thing is we know from Nevi'im, we know from it's all over in the Sifrei Nevi'im, is that when a Navi wanted to express a prophecy would come true, he accompanied his prophecy with a maisa. For example, Achia Hashiloni, when he revealed that the Malchus would divide into two parts, that it would be Rav ben Nevat and it would be Rechavam. So he took a garment and he cut the garment into two parts. All over Tanakh, in order to show that an event is going to happen, it's not just enough that I'm going to express it with words. You have to go and do something symbolic. Do a ma'isa to show it's really going to happen.
Many examples.
So someone explained that's exactly what we're doing. There's a mitzvah of mechiyas samak. Amochoy emche zecher amolek. On Purim, talk is cheap. It's not just enough to read the Megillah, to have emunah that it's going to happen. But Purim is a special emphasis.
Why
Megillah? Because Haman is a descendant, according to the vast majority of the Pesukim. Haman ben Hamza Socho Agogi. Agag is Amalek. So it's not.
So we remind him is one thing, but there are a whole year.
Ain't no Chanami, but Purim we learn Parsha. When did Chazal select to learn Parsha Zohar? Right before the Yontif of Purim. Purim is an emphasis on Mochoy Emche Zecher Amalek. Memela, it's not enough just to lay in the Megillah. It's not enough just to have Emunah, Mashiach's going to come. We are acting like the Nevi'im. You have to do a Maisa. You can't go do a Maisa today. You go a Maisa today, we live in a dangerous world. You're not going to even know who the Malikim are. But you have to demonstrate your Emunah in Mochoyem Chazekhra Malik. And the way you follow in the way of the Nevi'im is, you clap Haman. It says Haman in the Megillah. You do a Ma'isa. You take two blocks of wood. You write Haman. You erase it. You do something symbolic as an emuna that Mashiach is just around the corner. And when Mashiach comes, it is the Melech, and the first Mulcham of the Melech is to Timche as Zecher Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim. This is a chiluk of what you're doing, being mekayim the mitzvah of clapping during Haman.